Welcome to the Health Fix Podcast, where health junkies get their weekly fix of tips, tools, and techniques to have limitless energy, sharp minds, and fit physiques for life. One of the best things you can do to improve your health is get at least 7 hours of quality sleep every single night. I know, it's hard to get that much sleep. Your mind keeps you awake, you're thinking about things, you get uncomfortable, you wake up early, and you just can't fall asleep again. There are hundreds of reasons why you can't get 7 hours of quality sleep every single night, and I've probably at least told you 100. But hey, listen, it's super important because your body heals itself when you sleep. And if you're not getting enough quality sleep, you're increasing your risk of disease and making it harder to lose weight. Yes. Wait, would you like to know an easy way to get more quality sleep every night? Make sure you're getting enough magnesium. Believe it or not, around 75% of people don't have enough of it, which helps explain why so many people have sleep problems. Unfortunately, most magnesium supplements are not full spectrum, so they won't fix your magnesium deficiency or help you sleep better. There are actually 7 unique forms of magnesium, and you must get all of them if you want to experience its calming, sleep-enhancing effects. That's why I recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. Simply take 2 capsules before you go to bed, and you will be amazed by how much better you sleep and how much more rested you feel when you wake up. For an exclusive offer for my listeners of the Health Fix Podcast, you guys want to go over to www.magbreakthrough.com/healthfix. And you can save up to 42%. Yes, that's right. 42% savings on Magnesium Breakthrough when you go to www.magbreakthrough.com/healthfix. Hey, health junkies. On this episode of the Health Fix Podcast, I have Hope Pedraza on again. This is part 2 of a 2-part series. In our last conversation, Hope and I were talking about the concept of finding your human design. Now, if you haven't heard of it, it is a more or less complex system that helps you to figure out why you behave the way you do in certain situations, but also why you gravitate more towards a particular diet, fitness program, and what's going to help you to stick with something. So that's the secret on it. Now, before you jump into this podcast, if you're curious about human design, you want to know what yours is, Hope goes through all of them. So go to myhumandesign.com. Go figure out what yours is. It's free. You do have to give up an email, but hey, let's figure it out first so that you can follow along as you go through this podcast. Now, it's not required. You can learn all the different human design types and see which one you resonate with and go from there too. So Hope, like I mentioned before, she is the owner of Inbalance, a fitness company that is a franchise, and it's highly focused on Pilates. She is a functional nutrition practitioner. She is also a holistic nutritionist. So she's got a ton of background in similar things to me. And so I find it really fascinating talking with her about the ins and outs of the psyche, the human psyche in particular, and what programs can help us get the most bang for our buck, because you'll find probably if you're listening to this at this point that there's maybe been things that you've jumped into and you're like, man, this does not fit my personality. And that's okay. You don't have to fit into a perfect box. Now you can know a little bit more about yourself so that you can find things that resonate with you better. So let's jump into part 2 with Hope Pedraza. Hey, health junkies. I have Hope Pedraza on again. And today we're going to be talking about human design, which is a concept that some people might be familiar with, but I haven't talked about it on the podcast. So I think it's something we should definitely jump into. So Hope, welcome to the Health Fix Podcast again.
Yes. Thanks so much for having me again, Janine.
So human design, let's talk about what it is and how it can help us with making health choices, but also in the realm of maybe why we do certain things and why we don't do other things and what, you know, why this is useful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So human design is sometimes known as the science of differentiation. And it's a system that really gives you the energetic blueprint of your soul. So it contains some like ancient wisdom pieces with like the chakra system and astrology and the Kabbalah tree of life, and then some more modern sciences like neuroscience and quantum mechanics and quantum physics. And it puts together this design based on you, like when and where and what time you were born, and you have your own unique chart. And so it really can be very complex. Like if you ever have ever looked at your body graph before, looked at your chart, there's a lot going on. So I like to implement it with my clients and kind of simplify it so that, like you're saying, I can kind of just use it in terms of, you know, how we can best utilize this for our best wellness practices. Because the way I see it, when we're looking at wellness through the lens of human design, I really feel like, and especially just, you know, the more and more clients I work with and the more I implement this with my clients, that one of the root causes of so much chronic disease that we have today is really spending an excessive amount of energy being who we are not and who we are not designed to be. And so whether that's, you know, societal pressures or conditioning or, you know, genetics or experiences or whatever it is, just beliefs as a collective, whatever it is, we spend a lot of time being who we should be, right? We live with the shoulds. Yeah.
Right. Or who we think we should be based exactly on what our parents kind of set up for us. Or
exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so when these behaviors that we're, you know, now implementing into our life don't fit in with our energetic blueprint, they end up requiring our bodies to spend this excessive amount of energy being something that we're not, right? To kind of keep up this mask or whatever. And so when we do that for too long, this is what leads to burnout, right? We're like working against literally working against our design. So it's when we start meeting resistance and we start feeling burnout and, you know, our body starts to run down because we're spending all this excessive amount of energy being something that we're not. And so I see it as human design really helps us understand our unique energy, how we are designed, how we are to best make decisions, how we best interact with the world around us and with people around us, how we best interact with other energetic types because we're all different. And so we can really live more in line with who we were designed to be, with who we were meant to be.
Makes sense. It makes sense. And it makes sense in terms of how we would approach things like fitness or things like health programs and things of that nature. Because being a doc and much like you in helping folks in this realm of online health and things of that nature, I mean, we get into deeper realms than your average medical provider is going to get into with you, and also really unwiring some of the things that you've created in your head, these stories that you think you have to follow. So in terms of working with folks in programs, what kind of human design issues do you see come up in that realm of things in terms of working with someone with weight, working with someone with getting fit, staying fit, that kind of thing?
Yeah. So the biggest things I see and the biggest areas I work with is really understanding your, you know, movement, how and when and why you eat, and sleep patterns for each type. So there's five main types of human design types. And so understanding your type really is, that's the biggest piece for me, because from there you can understand, you know, what your energetic needs are and how, you know, how you should be eating throughout the day and where you should be maybe saving some energy and how you expel energy and when and where you should be eating and when you should be moving, that kind of thing, and sleep patterns. So to understanding each piece for each type is really, I think, the most, the best way to really implement it for your own like wellness journey.
Makes sense. So what are those five different types? So folks can kind of learn a little bit about it.
Yes.
And, you know, also give us at some point where they can find out learning more about that.
Yes, for sure. So before we start, you can get your chart for free anywhere online. So I typically like to recommend myhumandesign.com. I feel like that's the easiest one to understand because again, they're pretty complex and you can really go deep into it, but just for the free information on the internet, it gives you like enough to go to work with, you know, starting out. So myhumandesign.com, I think, is the easiest one. But you could go to mybodygraph.com and geneticmatrix.com. But I think my human design, I think, is the easiest one. So do that first before you listen to this. And you just need to know when and where and what time you were born, and then it gives you the rest. So there's five types. So I'll kind of go through the types and give some kind of wellness tips, I guess, for each type. So first type is generator. So generators are like the spark plugs. They're like the energetic beings in our society. They have a lot of energy. So they're about 38% of the population, and they are like the life force. They have the energy. They're the builders. They're the doers. And they really have a lot of energy. And they have a lot of energy to do all of these like creative thoughts, ideas, and endeavors that they have. So because they have so much energy, it's really important for them to put their energy in the right place. So they are here to do what lights them up, what brings them pleasure, what brings them joy. And when they're doing something that no longer brings them pleasure or life or joy or satisfaction, that's when they need to move on to the next thing, because that's when they start to meet that resistance I was talking about before. They start to work against their design because they're literally here to do what brings them, because that's how they get things done. They do things that they love that are pleasurable and that are fun. They are designed to go until exhaustion. So sometimes with my generators, if I'm talking to one of my generators and they're having trouble falling asleep at night, or maybe they're just not sleeping well. Now, granted, there are of course a dozen other things that could be play into that. But one of the big things I talk to them about is, have you worked yourself to exhaustion? It's like a puppy, right? Like you have to let the puppy run outside and get all of its energy out so then it can come inside and just chill. That's kind of how it is. Like, let's get all of your energy out, work until exhaustion, do the workout that brings you to the exhaustion, finish all the work you have going on in your head until exhaustion. You're designed to work until exhaustion. That's what brings the good sleep. That's what, meaning you've expended all of your energy and now we can sleep and like feel good about it. They are designed to constantly be in motion. And so a lot of times when they kind of feel like stuck and kind of bleh, and their mood just kind of bleh, moving their body, that's what I tell them. Just get up and move your body. Moving your body is what energizes them. It what brings them back up to that like spark plug state, right? So for my generators for sleep, again, wearing themselves out to get a good night's sleep. And really thinking about, if you really are having trouble falling asleep at night, they may not be getting enough physical exercise or physical movement throughout the day, like actually moving themselves physically throughout the day. And keeping that thought in mind of like the things that bring you pleasure and joy and fun, and keeping that in mind with everything you do in terms of your workout and your food, what you eat, because generators, and kind of like manifesting generators, which I'll get to in a second, they don't do really great with super restrictive things. Like they don't exactly like being told what to do, because they want to do what they like, what they enjoy. Right. So finding a workout that you like, not doing a workout just because you think you should do, or you think, well, I should be running because that's what's going to make me lose weight or whatever. Like doing the workout that you enjoy because you want to do it, because it lights you up, not because you think you should do it. So those are the generators. Nice. So next is manifestors, much smaller percent of the population, only about 9% of the population. And while the generators are like the doers, the manifestors are like the visionaries. They're the ones that come up with the ideas, and then the generators go do the idea. So manifestors have much different energetic needs than generators. They have a very unique way of doing things and seeing things, but they're really good. They're like solution oriented people. Like they're good at coming up with solutions to things. They are sometimes misunderstood because they kind of have these energetic waves. So they don't have that like consistent energy that generators have. And that's something that I have to really work with my manifestors on, to be okay with being able to like work in those energetic waves. Because there can be, again, I was talking about like societal pressure earlier and like conditioning, that can be something that manifestors really have to work through that conditioning that I always need to be doing, always need to be working. I should have an idea. I should be doing the next thing. And that's not really how you were designed to work. You're designed to work in these phases. So they could be in an action phase. When you're in this action phase, it's this kind of doing phase. So your caloric needs and your workout needs are going to be different. Maybe eating more high calorie foods keeps that energy up. Maybe doing more like faster high intensity workouts can keep that energy up. Then you might be in more of a like resting phase. Like you've done the thing and now your body needs to take a rest, and your brain and your energy needs to take a rest. More like cooling and light foods, more like maybe slower workouts, more something like maybe yoga or walking, something a little less intense, can be really supportive to your energetic needs when you're in that phase. And then allowing yourself to rest when you need rest And sleep for manifestors is going to be different than generators, because manifestors need time to disconnect and discharge from the day, as will a couple other types that I'll talk about. So finding something to do to discharge, whether it's, you know, reading a book, meditating, journaling, maybe it's just watching mindless TV, whatever you need to do to kind of discharge from the day, kind of let go of people's energy that you've taken on throughout the day, is going to be really important for them to get like good quality sleep. For my manifestors and really projectors and reflectors that I'll get to, if you are in a relationship with a generator, a manifesting generator, sometimes just sleeping in the same bed as them can be exhausting, like just feeding off the energy, because manifesting generators and generators, they're just, I mean, they're like the Energizer bunny. So sometimes sleeping alone, if you're feeling like I am like feeling like the energy is palpable here, sleeping alone can be supportive if that is something that you can do, just to be able to kind of discharge and really hone in on like your energy. So, the manifestors really should go to bed before they're exhausted. If you've worked to the point of exhaustion, you've gone too far. So my manifestors really do have to really be mindful and careful with their energy and not like doing too much, like knowing their limits are, setting boundaries and limits on, and that could be work, any kind of work. That could be their workouts, like actually physical exercise. It could be like their work that they do like for their job or their career, but just really honing in on protecting their energy and allowing their food choices and their workout choices to support like what their energetic needs are and what phase that they're in. So those are manifestors. So manifesting generators are kind of a combination of the two. Manifesting generators, similar to generators, because they're more generator than they are manifestor, but they are like the Energizer bunny, but like even more so than generators. They have like this intense amount of energy 24/7. And they're about a third of the population. They are the creatives. They are here to do things that nobody else is here to do. They come up with their own ways of doing things. They come up with unique ways of doing things that no one else can think of. They are here to multitask. And some conditioning that that manifesting generators really have to get past is that they can't do it all. And I'm a manifesting generator, so I say this from experience, because things I've had to like decondition within myself is thinking I'm so multi-passionate. Like I want to do all these things. And I have like my head's going in 24 different directions. And I know for a long time before I like really got into human design, I'm like, no, like just focus on these things. Like just, you know, let's focus here and hone in. But no, like as a manifesting generator, you are literally here to do it all. Like that's what you're here to do. You are here to be multi-passionate. You're here to multitask. You're here to do it all. And it's okay to feel like your head's going in 24 directions, because that's what lights you up. Be doing lots of different things and putting your energy in different directions, that's what lights you up. So because manifesting generators have so much energy, their caloric needs are actually a lot different than pretty much any other type. And so this is also some deconditioning that might have to happen, because say you're in a relationship with like a projector, which I'll get to in a second, which have much lower caloric needs because their energy is completely different than a manifesting generator. So the thought that like, well, I'm eating too much, like my partner is like, you know, eating like a bird, but I'm still hungry. Like I still want to eat, you know? So you really do require more high caloric foods. You have higher caloric needs, eating regularly throughout the day, eating foods that get like energize you, eating foods that excite you, kind of like generators. You're here to do things that excite you and bring you joy. The other thing with manifesting generators are, because their brain kind of goes in all these different directions, they're here to do things in phases. And that can be across the board at anything. Think about like exercise, for example. So maybe as a manifesting generator, you get super psyched about running. So you have this running phase. So you get tired of that. And then you try CrossFit. And then you have a CrossFit phase. You get tired of that. And then you try strength training. I'm just going to weightlift. And you get tired of that. So they have these phases and they work in phases. So the world, the society might be like, you know, you're super flaky. Like just pick something and stick with it. But as a manifesting generator, that's not what we're here to design to do. Like we're here to do the things that we like in the moment. And then we move on to the next thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. The same thing with food. Manifesting generators do not do well with super structured diets. So if you're a manifesting generator, like beating yourself up because you can't stick to the diet, like, it's just not your thing. Like it's giving yourself more flexibility and more freedom to kind of live outside of the box. Cause that's kind of what I always see manifesting generators. Like we're here to live outside of the box. Being put in a box is not manifesting generators' idea of like a good time. So keeping that in mind too, with how you eat and eating in phases, maybe you do keto for a month, but then maybe next month you want to do the Mediterranean diet. Like doing keeping that in mind, where it's like it's okay to jump to the next thing if when you get tired of doing something, doing what lights you up at the moment, what brings you joy. And similar to generators, they are meant to go until exhaustion. Get all of the energy out, get everything out before you go to bed so that you can sleep knowing that you've expended all of your energy. So that are my manifesting generators. Do you know what type you are?
You know, I knew you were going to ask me that. And then I was like, of course I forgot and hadn't done it before the podcast. So I think I'm a generator. It seems to me that it sounds like that.
Sounds
So
like you. Yeah. I'd
yeah.
be interested to know. I'd be interested to know. Okay. So my next type, two more types. The next type is projectors. So projectors are about 22% of the population, and they are very unique. So when you look at your chart and you'll see there's a bunch of different shapes going around the chart. Most of them are correlated to you know, one of the chakras, if you're familiar with the chakra system, but there's a couple that kind of split off. But you'll see on your chart, they're either colored in or they're white. So the ones that are white are undefined or open centers, meaning that you're more susceptible to like outside conditioning. It's not a good or a bad thing. It's just how you're designed. So with projector, they have a lot more open centers. So they tend to take in people's energy a lot more than the other types because they have so many open. Same with reflectors that I'll get to in a second. So they're very open. So it does leave them vulnerable to this conditioning. And that can, it can go one way or the other. They can kind of lose the sense of like who they are, right? Kind of because they're taking on other people's energy and other people's opinions and other people's thoughts about things. But it also is nice because it helps them to be able to like pick and choose, right? They get all of these, this energy coming in from other people and they're able to kind of pick and choose like what their energy really is. So projectors are really perceptive people. They're really analytical people. They're really good problem solvers, and they're able to help others kind of find their focus and really maximize their potential. So they have this capacity to kind of look at the big picture and then kind of solve the problem from there. Did you find out what your type is?
I did. Yeah. I what quick looked because I wanted to see, like, I'm like, I know I have it somewhere. I am a manifesting generator.
You
so
are.
Like,
yes. You're with me. Love it. Yes. I love it. So you were close. You were close then.
I remember generator something, but yes, I found it manifesting
there you are.
Generator.
Yes.
That makes sense.
So for my projectors, because they are so sensitive to kind of the energy around them, their caloric needs are going to be a little different. They really eating what makes them feel kind of light and vibrant rather than feel weighed down by big portion sizes is going to help keep their energy consistent. So I find that projectors do best when they're eating kind of small snacks throughout the day than like big, heavy meals. And they actually projectors I find actually do better with like eating in a particular way. I don't want to say restrictive diet because I don't like that word, but eating in a particular way. So eating like paleo or vegan or Mediterranean, like they do better kind of staying in the box because it's less energy for them. Like they don't have to think about it. So they have can expend less energy eating in a particular way. Right. So projectors also are not made to have this consistent energy. They're here to work in waves. So really projectors work like 3 or 4 hours at a time, take a break. 3 or 4 hours at a time, take a break. So I have sometimes on projectors where they're like, you know, sometimes I just feel like I need to take a nap in the middle of the day. And then they feel guilty for it. I'm like, no, like you're not here to work all day. Like a 9-to-5 job for a projector is like, let me bang my head against a brick wall. Cause it's not conducive for their energetic type. It's just really not. So having the flexibility and the ability to kind of work for a little bit, take a break, work for a little bit, take a break is going to be the best way to really balance out your energy and be protective of your energy. And knowing that you really do need rest periods. So you do need projectors require more sleep during the day. Maybe it's, you know, little cat naps here and there, more sleep at night, but knowing that that's really what helps keep their energy consistent is just taking those breaks. And similar to manifestors, when they go to sleep, being able to kind of discharge and disconnect, taking that like 30, 45 minutes before going to bed, doing something to let go of the day, you know, meditating, journaling, listening to music, whatever it is to kind of let go of the day and let go of the energy that you've kind of taken on during the day. When projectors go to exhaustion, similar to manifestors, they've gone too far. They've pushed too hard. And so projectors really have to hone in on food and exercise, I feel like, is a key for them, because knowing that eating big portion sizes, eating, big meals throughout the day, and then too much high intensity exercise can sometimes just zap them. Like if they've gone, too long during the day where they haven't given themselves the rest that they need, doing a high intensity workout at the end of the day is just gonna, I mean, it's just gonna zap everything else out of them. So just being protective of that energy and honoring that, like, it's not gonna be the same as, maybe other people. So the last type is reflector. Reflectors are super duper unique because only 1% of the population are reflectors, and reflectors have every single center open. So on the chart, there's nothing filled in. It's all white. So
Interesting.
they have, yes, they have a very open aura. They are super sensitive to the energy around them and constantly taking in everybody else's energy. So because they're so open and so sensitive to like the energy around them, finding alone time for a reflector is going to be crucial. So for my reflectors, they tend to like anxiety a lot of times is something they deal with because they're taking on so much, and they have to kind of distinguish, like, am I taking on other people's energy and thoughts and feelings? Is it mine? So anxiety can kind of be a common theme here. But when you're able to have alone time, when you're able, like, their environment and their community is going to be really important. Having a safe space that they can go to that's theirs. So I like to encourage my reflectors, like, if you can find just like, even if it's just like a corner of the house, a corner of a room, having your space where you can go, like, shut yourself in the bathroom if that's what you have to do. Just getting away from people and allowing yourself to kind of just be is going to be huge to really protecting their energy. And food and exercise is going to be very, it's going to be really fluid for reflectors. So it's they're not somebody who's going to really like stick to a structured way of eating and exercising because their energetic needs are going to change so much. So using food and exercise as a way to be supportive to their energetic needs and their constantly changing energetic needs is going to be crucial. So intuition is huge for reflectors, and being able to hone into their intuition, and again, not living by those shoulds. Well, I should be eating this, or I should be working out, I should go for a run. But if it's not supportive to your energy in the moment, you're just gonna, it's of no service to you. Like, it's not serving your body. So really honing in on your intuition, like, is this gonna make me feel good? Is this exercise that I want to do gonna make me feel good? Is this food that I'm about to eat gonna make me feel good? Like, energetically, is it serving me in the moment? Something that feels supportive and helps keep that consistent energy. Journaling and breath work, I find, are really important for reflectors, which of course we can all benefit from both of those, but especially for reflectors, just because they can kind of brain dump and get things out. They can really tune in. Like, tuning inward is gonna be really supportive for reflectors and kind of honing in on themselves, because spending too much time with people, especially if you're in a relationship with a generator or manifesting generator, or you work closely with one, that's going to be exhausting for you. So just kind of being able to disconnect from people and other people's energy is going to be really supportive.
Wow. Whew.
That's a
That's a lot
lot.
of info to
It's a
digest. I
lot.
think folks might be like, okay, guess I got to figure out, make sure I know what I am first. But, I find it useful to know, because I think a lot of us have patterns and we're like, why can't I stick with this? Why
Exactly.
does this annoy me or whatnot? But then we also do have that underlying of like not living up to who we really truly are. And I know I've definitely dealt with that, especially kind of on the realm of business stuff, and all of those things. So I think a lot of people have that interesting component that plays into maybe some of the adrenal fatigue situations we have, but maybe some of the reasons why programs fail, over and over again for certain folks too.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and it, when I go deeper into the charts with my clients, like looking at the energy center, so all the shapes that are on your body graph, when you look at those, all of those correlate to certain organ systems in the body. So it's really nice to be able to look at those too and understand, like, okay, like, kind of getting in balance, having imbalances in this particular like energetic system. Well, okay, that explains why, my thyroid isn't functioning, properly, or like you're saying, like adrenals are a big one. And so, yeah, being able to kind of correlate those two to kind of things going on in the body can be really helpful too, to kind of see where you're out of balance in those energy systems.
It makes sense. I was just trying to find mine. Now I like minimized it and then I have no idea where it went because I was like, maybe I should screen share and you can tell us a little bit more. about mine, and then folks can kind of see from there.
Yeah.
Let me try to bring it
Yeah, see
up
if you
here. I
can
don't
bring it up.
know.
Yeah.
Here it is. Then that way you can see
Yeah.
what's happening. I didn't use the same, I don't think I used the same company that you
Oh,
typically
that's
use for,
fine.
but we'll see what you can glean
Yeah, they'll
from
still
this.
look the same. Yeah,
Okay.
still have the same information.
All right. So
Perfect.
here it is.
Awesome.
So.
Okay, perfect. So let's see. Okay, manifesting generator for sure. So let's see. I can go through some of these centers here and kind of explain kind of what this is. So on her chart, she has a few open centers. Actually, that's so funny because we have the exact same open centers. All three that are open on you is what open on me. That's so funny. So she has the head center, which is the very top one. You have the emotional center, which is that little triangle on the right, and then you have the root center, which is at the bottom. So those are the three areas where you're going to be more prone to like conditioning and might require some quote deconditioning to kind of hone in on your own like intuitive self. So the head center, I'll kind of go through this first. The head center, which is the top triangle, if you know the chakra system, this is associated with the crown chakra, right? So this is kind of your center for ideas and inspiration. So when it's undefined, when it's open like yours, when it's not filled in, when you're not in alignment in this particular center, typically you try to overthink things. Like you're thinking about other people's problems instead of your own. Analysis paralysis is a big thing, right? You have so many ideas, you don't know how to take action, how to make a decision. Anxiety, headaches, brain fog, overwhelm, all of these are like really common when we're out of alignment in this particular center. Because when we're in alignment in this center, you know what it takes to kind of clear the mental pressure. Working out to clear mental pressure is a great way to kind of get yourself back in alignment in this particular center because you can kind of clear out the fog. In taking time to make decisions rather than trying to like make decisions too quick and you're like thinking about other things, too many things at once. So taking the time you need to like tune into your intuition to make decisions. So this particular center is associated with your pineal gland. So a lot of times when you're having like sleep issues, circadian rhythm issues, sleep stuff going on, a lot of times there's some imbalances. There's some you're not in alignment in this particular center. And a lot of times it has to do with that you're overthinking things, you're thinking about other people's problems, and you're not allowing yourself to kind of live in alignment and let go of that mental pressure. So does that make sense for you?
Oh, for
Yeah.
sure. For sure. Fits me to the T. Folks, just so those of you who are listening audio only and not seeing this, you can see this over at YouTube. You can go to my podcast at drjcrossnd.com as well for the notes on this. But my head chakra is open. It's white, as she was saying. And then now my other chakra is there. I've got all kinds of other the green triangle thing going on. I've not had this explained to me, so I don't even know what's happening.
So the next one underneath that is your Ajna center, the triangle that's right underneath your head. And this is the center for like mental processing. So this is where you kind of conceptualize ideas, your beliefs, your opinions, your perspective on things. That's where the center is. And so you're defined. So meaning that it's easier for you to kind of hone in on your own intuitive sense of self in this particular place. So when you're in alignment in the center, you're able to like have your own opinions and perspectives on things. You can be intentional about your perspectives on things and share your opinions when you know it's going to be of value to others, rather than just sharing your opinions just to hear yourself talk. Like when you know it's of value for people, educating and teaching, you have creative ways of thinking about things, and you know that it's the way you look at things is going to support other people. So that's when you share your opinion. So a lot of times when the center is defined, you're good at teaching and instructing and educating people. And you can do that in like a really supportive way. So the one underneath that, the little square that's in the center there, that's your throat center. This one is a really powerful center. This is like your center for manifestation, your projected voice from the center. And a lot of times when we're out of alignment in the center, it can show up as like respiratory issues and sore throats and coughs and that kind of thing, because we're not allowing that our authentic self to really come through to speak our truth, right? So yours is defined, meaning that you're able to kind of hone in on that a little bit more. So you're you are comfortable being seen and being heard when you're in alignment in this particular center, you can really speak your truth in a really supportive way. So when we're out of alignment in this center and it's defined, you sometimes can kind of hide your sense of self and like speaking your truth, but for fear of being too much or, you know, speaking, you know, making other people feel a certain way. And it could also be the opposite where you just dominate the conversation just to hear yourself talk, right? So kind of go both ways. But this center is associated with your thyroid and metabolism. And so a lot of times when you're out of balance in like the throat chakra, it can kind of manifest itself that way in the body, just in terms of metabolism, thyroid, things going on with that organ system there. So yeah, that's your throat center. So right under that is there's a little like upset, or I guess it's like a diamond. So there's a little diamond and that's your G center. And it's associated with your heart chakra. And this is like your sense of self, like your the sense of who you are. And because yours is defined, you were able to hone in on that true sense of self. You're able to kind of be yourself unapologetically. Mm-hmm. You have this very defined sense of self. You know who you are, you're able to be who you are. And when you're in alignment in that center, you feel, you know, you're proud and you're confident. There's no shame trying to hide who you are. That's like you own that kind of sense of self. Nice. And it is because it's associated with the heart chakra there, it's associated with like the blood and kind of like that life force of the body. And that's like your heart, like your sense of self, who you are.
Nice.
Yeah. So next to that, or kind of down from that, there's like a little triangle. So if you're listening, it's like the triangle to the right of that diamond, and that's your ego center.
Mm-hmm.
And this is your, like your center for desire and willpower. So yours is defined, which I find can be really supportive because you have this consistent sense of willpower. If it's open, it's not filled in, you really lack that willpower. And I find a lot of times when people have that center undefined, the ego center undefined, it's such a challenge to get them to stick to a protocol, right? To stick to a mm-hmm. structured like way of doing things because they just don't have that consistent willpower. It just takes a different approach. So you have this consistent willpower. You have this, this consistent sense of like setting boundaries and keeping promises to yourself and other people and having just that steady willpower. Cool. So the center down from that. So if you're looking at your own chart, you're going to the right and there's like a little sideways triangle. So hers is open and this is your emotional center. This one I find a lot of times is the most powerful center. We go a lot from our emotions, right? And mm-hmm. our emotions are literally chemicals in the body, right? We store emotions as chemicals in the body. And so many times we get out of alignment in this center and it just shows up as just toxicity in the body, right? It's hard for us to get rid of it because they are literal chemicals that your emotions are making in the body. And strangely enough, this center is actually associated with your detox organs, like your kidney and your bladder and your pancreas. And so I feel like there's no coincidence there. Like there's a reason that it's associated with those particular organs, but this particular center, it's your emotional center. It's, how you deal and process and show your emotions. So because yours is undefined, it's open. You may have heard this before. Maybe you've told yourself, but you see people have this open sometimes can be labeled as emotional people. And you are able to pick up and really amplify other people's emotions. You're able to kind of pick up people who are like empaths typically have this center open because they can kind of read people's emotion and feel other people's emotions really easily. But I think the cool thing about it is that you're really here to experience the true range of emotions, like the true range of emotional possibility. You're here to experience all of it. And I think a lot of times when we get out of balance in this particular center, we're stifling that. And that is when you're out of alignment, you're, you know, suppressing your emotions. You're not allowing yourself to feel the emotions, the good, the bad, all of it. You hold those in. And that's when, and you know this, that's when we start to see disease creep up in the body when we're not allowing ourselves to feel those emotions and to process those emotions. They literally, chemicals get stuck in the body.
It's true. Mm-hmm. It's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It totally fits me, you guys, what she's saying.
Mm-hmm. So if we're looking at the chart, we're going to go to the left. So there's a square, not the very bottom, right above that. There's a square that's next to that, and that's your sacral center. So because if you see on your chart at the top, it says like what your emotional authority is, or what your authority, not your emotional, but what your authority is. And you have a sacral authority because you're a manifesting generator. It's only going to be one of two things. So that means your sacral center is what helps you make decisions. So think of like listening to your gut. That's what you're telling yourself when you're making decisions. You're listening to your sacral center. Your sacral center is your center for creativity, for life force, for pleasure. It's also associated with your sexual organs, but it's where you're, when you're listening to your gut, that's where it's going. It's coming from your sacral center. So think of your sacral chakra. So whenever you're making decisions, your decisions are going to be a gut feeling. Like people make decisions in different ways, but when you're making it, you want to feel it in your gut. Is my gut saying yes? Is my gut saying no? And it should be clear. If you're overthinking things, this is us getting out of alignment at per your design. When you start to overthink things, because your sacral decision is a, it's a hell yes or hell no. Like it's one or the other, and it comes fast. And so I have people who, you know, are sacral authorities, and they start to overanalyze things. And it's like, no, like what's the first thing that pops into your head when you're making this decision? Yes or no, go with that. That's what your sacral authority does. So, so you have that stronger sense of that, like that, just making, I guess, decision-making, right? In that way, because you have that center defined, you're able to follow what brings you joy and pleasure without question. You're able to like really easily respond to signs, right? For like guidance, direction. You are able to do what brings you pleasure. Your sense of creativity is super strong here. When we're out of alignment is when those things start to get off. That's a good sense of like feeling if you're out of alignment in the center, when you're starting to feel those things, like, you know, the creativity is waning. The sex drive, exhaustion, all of that is a sign that we're out of sync here. Like we're doing things that aren't bringing us pleasure anymore. We're doing things that we don't enjoy anymore. And that's a good indication that we need to like, you know, curve, like let's make a U-turn and figure out what we need to change. So moving to the left of that is your splenic center. This one is really important when we're talking about wellness, because this is your awareness center. And this is a big one that I hone in on with my clients. It's your awareness center. So it's your center for intuition. And strangely enough, it is also correlated with your immune system. And so it's associated with your lymphatic system. And so our intuition, our immune system, our wellness, like all of that really is so interconnected. And when your center is defined, so you kind of have this stronger sense of intuition, you're able to look to your intuition for guidance rather than to other people. When you're out of alignment is when fear starts to creep in. Fear is a good indication that you're out of alignment in this particular center. And it can show up in different ways. So if you see, and this is like a whole conversation for another day, but if you see on your chart, there's all these little numbers. All those numbers are associated with different gates, and that's associated with different fears that can consistently creep up for you that are good indications that you're out of alignment in this center, that you've kind of turned away from your intuition. Maybe you're listening to more of that like ego voice in your head rather than the intuitive voice in your head. So that's what that means. And at the very bottom here is your root. So yours is open, your root center, and mine is too. So this is your root center, and this is associated, and this is a really important one too, because this is associated with your adrenals. So this one is a really easy one for me to know if it's out of alignment when I'm looking at people with their adrenals are like totally out of whack, or just like totally shot. So it's a pressure center. So you feel the sense of pressure to get things done, like the sense of urgency to get things done from this particular center. So when it's undefined, like yours, so yours is open, you feel pressure and stress from other people. And because it's open, you really aren't designed to like do things until completion, like necessarily all at one time. You feel pressure from like external sources to get things done rather than like the internal sense of like, oh, I need to get this done. And so you kind of feel resentment for other people who make you feel like you haven't done enough, or you might feel like resentful for people who are like doing more than you. And it's like you just kind of want to sit back and like take a rest for a second. You might feel guilty or lazy for putting off work. And maybe you feel better like working under pressure rather than like giving yourself this whole long timeline. Like maybe you do better giving yourself a little bit of pressure, like procrastinating a little bit, and you get it better done when you have kind of that pressure to just get it done rather than you're looking at this long timeline, like it's due in 2 weeks, but I don't want to do it right now. And this, because the center is associated with your adrenals, there's like this stamina piece to it, right? And when you keep going and keep going, keep going, when you're not meant to keep going, for you, you're not, because you have the center open. That's when you can start to feel that like your adrenals really wearing out. You feel that that adrenal fatigue really sets in when we're looking at the center and like feeling that pressure to like keep things going when you shouldn't.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Yeah, definitely fits me. Fits me.
It's you.
So, okay, folks. So now you know kind of what this looks like. I'm going to pop out of here and kind of go back into, you know, some of your programs, some of what you're offering, because I think having a person who understands you on a different level, right? They get you, but you know, and maybe you've never met them because you're doing online programs, you know, it's sometimes different to interact with folks. But when we have information like the human design, it really does help us to have more insight and be able to navigate all of the intricacies that happen when we're trying to figure out someone and how to motivate them best. So yeah. Tell us a little bit about the programs that you have, how you incorporate this in and how it works.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I like to give just kind of what I did for you. We go into a little bit more detail, but I kind of like to give a good like bird's eye view of everybody's chart and they, you know, come into my programs just so they can, and really it's like, it's just learning about yourself, right? You're like I said this one time, I know it's super cheesy. I've said this before in my podcast, but because when I first found human design and I learned about it, like I felt like I was learning about myself for the first time, where it's like, it was familiar. Cause I'm like, that's me, that's me to a T, but it's also these parts where it's like the parts you've either tried to hide or the parts you felt bad about, or the parts that you thought you needed to change. It's like, no, like this is how I was designed. Like this is how I was meant to be. And so I really value that piece too. And allowing my clients to like learn about themselves sometimes for the first time and understanding like why they do the things they do, why they make decisions they do, like why they operate the way they do. Right. And it really is, it allows them to approach things from a different perspective and approach like the healing process for their body from a different perspective when they're understanding like why they're doing what they're doing, you know? So I think that's the big piece, is just, it's just that awareness piece. It's an awareness tool essentially is what it is. It's just that, it's just another awareness tool. And then kind of honing in on some pieces too. Like we look a lot at the splenic center, which I was talking about, and we look at a couple of the centers that are really correlated to like the wellness piece and the health piece, and kind of honing in on those aspects and just understanding how to utilize the information and implement it, right? With kind of what I was, the first part I went through with like the sleep and the exercise and the food and stuff. And yeah, and kind of integrating that piece where they don't feel like they're not living by the shoulds, right? They're not doing all these things they think they should be doing in terms of eating and exercising, but they're able to live according to their design and just feel a sense of ease, you know, in the protocol that we're doing for them, because they're doing it for their design.
Right. No, I think the more we learn about ourselves, the more we can make sustainable change.
Totally.
One of the things that, you know, bugs me the most about healthcare industry is we do things very fragmented, but we also do it on a level of like, oh, I'm going on a detox. And then I just go right back to my regular self, or I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But then we go right back to ourselves. And I think it's important to know a little bit more about how to work with yourself versus against yourself.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Yep. That's exactly it.
So tell us a little bit about how you're working with folks right now. I know that we had talked last time when you were on about the hybrid situation. Do you have any current programs going on that folks can learn about? And then of course, tell us where to find you, all of that too.
Yeah. Yeah. So all my programs are ongoing. And so, I have a few spots for a one-on-one open now. Right now I'm just doing one-on-one work. And so, I have spots open. I'm a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner, like I said before. And so I use functional labs in my programs to kind of create protocols, of course, implementing a lot of this with human design. So I really like to take, you know, we all take holistic approaches. That's what you're talking about on your show. But I just like to bring in this like mind spirit part of it too, to kind of put all of that together. So implementing that with the functional labs and the screenings and all of that. So I do have open enrollment for all of my programs open now. People can find me on Instagram. I'm at the Hope Pedraza. I have a podcast, Hopeful and Wholesome, and then I also have a free Facebook group. It's Live Wholesome and Healthy, and it's just all things functional nutrition, functional wellness, and then some human design sprinkled in.
Nice. Nice. And what kind of labs do you tend to do? I think a lot of folks, you know, they've heard me geek out about different labs over time. What kind of labs are you into? What do you do? Kind of thing.
Yes, I love all the labs. I typically have three main ones that I do. So for pretty much for all of my clients, I'm doing the Dutch, I'm doing the GI mapping, and I'm doing the HTMA, which is the hair tissue and mineral analysis. Those are like kind of like my foundational labs. And then depending on the person, I might do a blood chemistry. I might do organic acids tests, just kind of depending on what they're dealing with. But those three are kind of like my foundational pieces that I always do: the Dutch, the GI map, and the HTMA.
Okay. Nice. Nice. Yeah, I think a lot of people have heard definitely the Dutch, the GI map. I haven't talked about the hair and tissue as much, but I think, you know, over time they've probably heard it from somewhere and got some info. Well, thank you so much, Hope, for coming on and talking about the human design. I think for a lot of people, they are wondering, well, what is this stuff? And now I'm glad I could pull mine up so that they could get a
Yes,
little
me
sense
too.
of it. So hopefully, folks, if you didn't get a chance to get your human design done, get it, re-listen to this podcast, and then you'll have a
That's right.
heck of a lot more info and background. Now, are there any resources folks can look at for human design for more information that you would recommend for them to go towards to?
Yeah. Totally. So my human design that I mentioned before, she has a ton of resources there, and there's a lot of free information she gives, and you can pay for extra information if you want extra. But she also has an app that you can download on your phone. It gives you like little daily things, but it's just another great tool just to learn more about yourself, and it's a free app, so that's a cool way to learn more too.
Absolutely. Wow. Good stuff here. Thank you so much, Hope. I appreciate it. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Hey, Health Junkies, if you liked this podcast and want to know more about human design that Hope and I have been talking all about, you want to listen to the next podcast because I decided to make this the two-part series. So stay tuned for next week when you can listen to part two of my interview with Hope talking all about human design. All right, we'll see you next time. Hey, fellow health junkie, thanks for listening to the Health Fix podcast. If you enjoyed tuning in, please help support me to get the word out about the podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review, and just get that word out. Thanks again for listening.